clarification needed in respect to the lesson this morning, the opportunity is given now, and I'm fortunate somebody leave a car for me, but they leave the key on the pulpit. Yes, if there's any question in respect to the lesson this morning, I invite you now to, or if there are some things that need further explanation. The subject dealt with is, it takes much to even to get to some of the important things. There are quite a few points in the lesson that I did not get to elaborate on. I'm hoping tonight, if chance allow, because I plan not to come back to this lesson next week, even though there are much to be discussed from the lesson, and I'm talking about things that have already been prepared on the lesson, but I'm hoping not to come back to it next week if God is willing. So if there's any question from anyone, you could ask now, or else which, okay.
Yeah, what I observe, and for those that enter into the holy place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so my thought and my consider, what happened to them if they should go back out in the courtyard or what have you?
Say that again. What happened to?
Those people. They went enter into the holy place.
Now, this is the holy place.
Yes.
This is the holy of holies.
The holy place.
Here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they should go back out in the courtyard to re-enter into the holy place. What is their punishment? Is there anything?
No, they can. The priest, keep in mind, the ordinary Israelites were permitted to come here. There are situations under which even priests and Levites, remember the Levites were the priesthood tribe, but the Levites could not at will enter here. The Levites and the priests may enter the courtyard. Now, the serving or officiating priests who have to, twice per day, they had to offer incense. So they were free to come and go from the court or courtyard, if I mean, inside the holy place. They were free to move from here to here because they had to. Most of the animals that were killed to be offered or the blood sprinkle and whatever, it was done on this altar. Sorry. I'm coming rather long. Let me just, this is really a...
really A-L-T-A-R. A-L-T-E-R is when you fix up your clothes that it can, it's too big for you or too...
Okay? Yes. So the subordinate priests, they were free to go from here to here because they had duty here. Matthew, coming in, they always had to wash their hands and feet. In fact, can we just run to that in the book of Exodus? I think it is chapter 30. Verse 17 through 31. Somebody read that quickly for me. Let us hear it.
Exodus 30, verse 17.
Yes, following.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot
A laver. That's a wash tub. Or a bathtub. Uh-huh. And it was made of what?
Of brass. And his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar.
This is the tabernacle. And this is the altar. You see? And here's another thing. Even where these are placed were important. May I remember what we look at this morning? There were no less than 6 verses telling, and he did it as the Lord commanded. We are expected in the church to follow God's directive. You see, we must respect God's word and realize that when it comes to our sin, the church, and all that pertain to it, we don't know anything unless it is taught to us by God. Dealing with man's sin is purely God's prerogative. When you try to teach your friends, you need to get this over to them. That dealing with our sin, getting us ready for eternal peace beyond the grave, that's purely God's business. Man's wisdom, smartness, don't have anything to do with that. You see, the very place. Now, if I had put the altar here, I would have put it at a wrong place. And if Moses had felt that it was more convenient putting it here, Moses would have transgressed God's law. He would have ignored the pattern that God emphasized so much for him to follow. Yes.
Between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein.
Water therein, from a waterway. Put water in it.
For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and
that's
their feet.
That's the priest. When, as many of you know, Aaron was the head of the Levitical family at this time. For the priest would work. Moses was starter. While Moses and Aaron were Levites, but Moses was sort of the political leader. You see. So for Aaron and his son
shall wash their hands and their feet.
They must wash their hands and their feet.
Thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statue forever to them.
Y'all hear that? Notice how important, as simple as this thing, that they die not. You know what you are gathering here? Anyway, the priest, let's say he was rushing and felt, you know, I don't have any time to wash my hands and feet, I'm going here. Other priests would have to come and take him out. That's right. That they die not. Okay? So what I'm saying, Brother Lang, the priest, the subordinate priest, remember, you know, we represent that body. We who? Christians. We are the subordinate priest. The church is the holy place. Yes. So they were free to move from the outer court to the tabernacle. Did I answer? Okay.
Yes. So at that during those time, the restriction was very strict in a way that the simplest mistake that you make, you're in a problem with God.
Lot of problem, brother, because we have a problem made right here. Huh? And it's between here and here. Now, from all indications, it seems as if Nadab and Abihu took the fire from here. It should have been taken from here. But why do I need to worry outside? When the fire is so convenient, you can see the temptation. Let's read it now. Let's read it in Leviticus chapter 10. In fact, just a minute. It is chapter 10, but there's another point I want to just bring out. Okay, let us hear from chapter 9 and from verse 22 following. Chapter 9.
And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation.
Notice who went in. Who?
Moses and Aaron.
These are head of the tribe of Levi. Moses was a Levite. Aaron was his biological brother. Of course, God placed Moses as the leader. So both of them could enter the tabernacle because they were Levite and they were head of their tribe. Go on, brother, and Moses and Aaron
went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces.
What altar is that? This is the altar that is under consideration here. When they are for the thing, the Almighty God shows that He was pleased, and fire came down and consumed it. This was was of itself great, but it was great to the people when the people saw this and they bowed down, showing reverence. Rightly so. Watch here now. Read on.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them a censer, and put fire thereon, therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire.
May I, why this fire is described as being strange is based simply on where it was taken from. Everybody gets it? Keep in mind, you know, we are told by God's word that whatsoever things were written, they were written to teach us a lesson. It was strange fire, not because it doesn't burn like other fire. Not because it doesn't have a flame like other fire. Simply because of where it was taken from. It was strange. Offered strange fire unto the law.
Which he commanded them not.
You hear? The place it was taken from was not where God asked them to take it from. Brothers and sisters, this is an easy and natural mistake. Probably if I had been there, I would make the same mistake. What difference does it make? Here is fire right here, and right inside here. Why worry to go outside? Because God says you must light it from here. Read on.
And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then
country people who died, God no make joke. Yes. You know, I wish people would just learn to respect the word of God. That's what we need. Respect the word of God. You know. So here we have it. That they were killed, and remember, it was the altar of incense that is under consideration. They should light it from getting the fire from there. But from all indication, it seems they got it from there. Okay? God killed them instantly.
Brother Mitchell, in like the early Bible, it's in Genesis, like you had altars being built, right? Is it the same sort of altar you have here, or is it this is a completely different setup?
Good question, and then
after the altar, they keep talking about tabernacle. Let's go to the tabernacle. Is the same sort of altar that they built?
There is a little difference there. Good question. From Genesis, from Adam, the first sacrifice we read about was Cain and Abel. When the Bible tells us, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and there Cain, she again conceived, and there his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, of the fat and what and what. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his. Did it say offering or sacrifice? At Genesis chapter 4, I think. I think I'm at this point at around verse 4 or 5. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Okay. Here, that was 100 or 1,000s of years before this. From here onward, we are going to be reading of altars. I have said from the pulpit here, you could follow Abraham by the altar he built. When Noah sons sinned, after the ark and the flood subsided,
Noah drank some homemade wine and got intoxicated. And that's usually intoxicated. People don't usually know what they are doing. Exposed himself, his nakedness. One of his sons saw it and made joke over it, laugh over it. Of course, he's going to be cursed. But right about then, if my memory serves me right, the Lord asked Noah to build an altar. So here you have altar. And right along, as I've said, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, name them, altar right along. Usually what we have these is a general instruction to build an altar and make a sacrifice. When the Almighty God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac, it was along that line. What is to be noticed and observed when it comes to this, the guidance going to be more restricted. But at the same time, the other altar and sacrifice we read about, they were always guidance and some form of regulation. Always. How do I know? This is why God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain. Because Abel followed God's guideline, Cain did not. You see, and both involve altar and offering to God what God asked for. In the case, and when we talk about Cain and Abel, we are talking about the beginning of man building altar and offering something on it for God. God has never left it up to man to give to him what man wants. He has always stipulated, and here again Cain and Abel comes into play, that God rejected one, telling that one, if you are done well, will I not accept you? But you have not done well, and therefore sin lies at your door. That is the beginning of altar and offering to God. So, Brother Fisher, yes, it is the same in that gift, sacrifice were placed on it to God. It is different from the altar under the Mosaical period, because under the Mosaical period there were more restrictions, more regulations. You see, it's a type of growth or development. We have the patriarchal age under which Cain and Abel comes, under which Noah came, under which Abraham came, under which Isaac, Jacob came. That's the patriarchal age. Then we move on to the Mosaical age. But in every age, the Almighty God regulated it. So, as I said, yes, it's the same in that sacrifice were offered on those altars to God with the necessary regulation that God stipulated then. It is different in that we come to a more refined age under the tabernacle.
to a tabernacle going or is it?
Okay, Dave. Okay. Yes. We start with just the altar. Yes. Then we it's development. So you see, but where this development is heading is to the church. You see, but you're right. You see, in the infancy, in human religious and moral infancy, the Almighty God gave, something had to be given to help man become conscious of what? Sin. Because that is what the animal sacrifice is about. That a life had to be given for the wrongs you have done. So in human infancy, yes, you're right. You start with the altar. But it still emphasizes sin must be paid for or be punished. Then when the Almighty God knew, not felt, that man had grown up or advanced spiritually and religiously, the Almighty God gave now the tabernacle with all of this. You see, and here again, sin is under consideration. That man cannot just go on sinning and God not doing. So the altar of incense, all the sacrifice that was made out here and the blood brought in here to sprinkle and whatever, and move on to sprinkle and whatever. When the animal was burned, the ashes was brought from here and go way out here to sprinkle on the mercy seat. All of that is emphasizing sin. The slaughtering in my lesson, not all the blood and Jewish altar slain. One of those great messages. I sum up just roughly, and that is a conservative figure. The amount of animal that would have been killed for just 1,000 years of Israel history. Just 1,000. Remember, Israel had an history of about 1,400 years. That's the history of the Israelites. That is from Moses to Jesus Christ. About 1,400 years. But in that sermon, not all the blood and Jewish altar flame. I take out only 1,000 years. And then I multiply by how many animals were slain in one day, 1 year. I think I sum up how many were slain in 1 year. And multiply that by the 1,000. Oh my God. That's a lot of cows and sheep. And the essence of that lesson, that all the blood of those animals did not affect man's sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. So yes, you are right, brother. So it's a progress, it's a development. Then from here, because remember, all this and the lot of blood that was shed did not deal with man's sin. So it is at this point, when Jesus Christ rent the veil on the cross, that's for the first time sin going to be dealt with. And the new and living way open to God and to heaven. And we have the church. So
So all of this going to be removed by the Almighty God. All of this have no place anymore.
Brother Mitchell, is it not good? And on strength, is it not good? We are teaching that the whole ceremonial system is ended. it's gone out.
You have part of what you say is very important, and you're right. But let me just bring in the other half. Somebody turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 11 and 12. Start verse 11 for me.
If therefore perfection were
better. Okay, hold it. That, we have the right passage. So you ask Dave if this is a good way of teaching that the whole sacrificial or ceremonial system changed. Yes, that's half of it. But listen, the Almighty God through this inspired writer.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise after the order of Melchizedek?
Read on.
And not called after the order of Aaron.
Uh-huh.
For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
Everybody get that? If you miss it, let the brother read it again.
For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
In fact, read the two verses again. I want to point out something there.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law.
Wait. Do you know what that is saying? That the priesthood, that aspect of the system pointing to Jesus Christ, is the most important aspect of the total system. The Ten Commandments, watch here. This is the priesthood. The entire Ten Commandments system, etc., rests on the priesthood. What the passage is teaching. Anywhere you remove the priesthood, the other part of the system had to go. That's right. You cannot remove the priesthood and the other system because it is a package. It's not given in peace. The whole system works together and not at all. You cannot have part and not the whole. Anywhere you affect or touch part, you affect the whole. So anywhere you trouble the priesthood, the entire system comes tumbling down. That's right. In fact, look at verse, is it 19 and 20? Also, same passage.
For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did.
Okay, wait. Okay, let me hear 20.
And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest.
It's the same. Okay, just a minute. Let me find the verse. Well, let's find it from it. It's right there. Just a minute. Let me. Okay, just a minute. 7.
Verse 23. And
okay, it's verse 18.
For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof.
The word disannul means chance lost, no more effective. What I find striking, almost everywhere that Adventists see the word commandment, they assume it refers to the Ten Commandments. Listen this passage again.
For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof.
In other words, that had to take place. It had to be disannulled because it could not meet man's needs. But back to the point these. Yes, it's a good way of teaching that not just the ceremonial aspect. Because what the Bible teaches, not just here, but this passage is saying, is that any way you remove part of this, any way you remove part of this system, what you have to do? You have to remove all of it. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10.
Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under curse, under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Wait, notice this. Read. Cursed is everyone that continueth not.
That continueth not in all things.
All. You cannot go and take out part of the law. We need to when we are teaching Adventists. Because I've just given you Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. Here, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 is teaching the same thing. And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Verse 3 and 4. Let us hear it. Let us hear it. 5, 3 and 4.
5, 3 and 4. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law.
Everybody get this thing here? I testify unto you that are circumcised. What you know? The Holy Spirit through Paul is saying, you cannot, you Jews, who are there in the church of Galatia, telling the men that in order to please God, they have to be circumcised. Paul is saying, anywhere you teach them that, anywhere you do that, you must do what?
Word.
The entire law. You cannot, like Sabbatarian today, go and pick out Sabbath. You'd have to offer your animal sacrifice. Remember, it's not just one Sabbath, you know. You have the weekly Sabbath, You have the monthly Sabbath, What is it called? New Moon, You have the yearly Sabbath, You have to keep all these Sabbaths. You have to do the animal sacrifice. That's what Galatians chapter 5 and verse 3 here is teaching. You dare not go and pick out just one part of the system. Any way you subject yourself to one part, you are subject to the entire system. So here you have three passages. You have Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11 and 12. You have Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. You have Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Verse 3 and 4. And you know what? You also have the book of James. A verse in the book of James says, anyway you offend in one part of this law, you offend in all. No man. I don't know under God I have no Adventist not say that. When the Almighty God moved this system, and it's obvious that it moved, it's obvious that the priest under this system, and Jesus Christ as a priest after the order of Melchizedek, that those two priesthood cannot work together. But here God has already told us that anywhere you remove the priesthood, the superstructure which built on the priesthood must come tumbling down. The entire system has to go with the priesthood. You know. Any other question or comment?
Brother,
yeah.
Just two things. One on the point of order. For me, I like Leviticus chapter 2, 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the thing that it says, if you're offering, just going back to the diagram, if you're sacrifice is to be done in a pan. God expects it to be done a certain way.
If it's to be done, wait. Everybody heard Matthew? If the sacrifice is to be done in a pan,
it must be done a certain way. If it's to be done in a frying pan, it must be done another way.
And that is a fact. Go on, brother.
Just that we not let, even though it's the same cooking, if you do, it depends on how you're doing it. There's a prescribed way.
There's a prescribed way that, and God always gives directives. Keep in mind that in the church, like baptism is a burial. When church is out there making sprinkling, you and I should understand what they are doing to the very dignity and authority of God. Because God made it plain that it is a burial. And that burial has significance to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So when you meet the Anglican and the Catholic and the Methodist and whoever else, we need to sit down and show them that you cannot treat God's word like that and expect to stand right before Him. We have a lot of teaching to do. We do. We have a lot of enlightenment. Where you sit down with your neighbor, friends, or relative, or co-workers, once they are open to listening, and you teach them the truth. And if you want to learn more how to teach on particular subjects, many of us right here are available to giving you directives. We are coming up with a folder now that almost any subject, you see a need to teach your friends, neighbors, co-workers out there. We have lesson sheets where you can guide the person to discover the truth for themselves. When more of us start teaching, we will accomplish much more for Jesus Christ. But you can see that there are much for us to do. Yes, Matthew.
Karen, another question very much, but I beg one more. But is that the idea that the priest went in and out? For me, it is coming home that as a priest, the true meaning of the word bridge builder, because God is this side, and the sinful world is this side, and we are the ones that keep moving to and fro to keep the connection going. And I thought that was
very. May I have your attention? There are so much. The outer court represents the world.
keep that in mind. I didn't point that out this morning. We have a big blackboard, but when I was putting the chart Friday night, I wish it was a little bigger for this reason. You see, the outer court represents a much bigger space than the space that they take up. That in the actual thing that Moses did, the outer court, remember, all of this represents the outer court. And what it indicates is that the outer court, the world, it has more people than the church. The Holy of Holies was only 1/3 of the size of the holy place. That is the Holy of Holies that represents heaven. It does not necessarily say that heaven is small. So don't start thinking, then may I go crunch up, may I go... No. That's not what... The point God was teaching Moses and especially us is that all those that the church accommodates will not necessarily be accommodated by heaven, because some of us are going to backslide, some of us are going to be in the church and not being faithful, not living right. You get the point? So all of that, that's why you see, when I put here bigger, it's no accident. That's the way it was with what the pattern that was given to Moses. You see? So out here represent the outer, the world. You know? And as we notice, as it is then, that God's people, you in serving and pleasing God, you have, your life is here, but you have business out here. You see. The man, it is the sinner in the world that gets baptized before you enter the church. The sacrifice for your sin was done outside the church. But here's a very important thing. Coming current. The high priest, when he passed through here on the Day of Atonement, no priest should be inside here. And that indicates that when Jesus Christ went to heaven, the church had to be empty. The church was barred, but nobody was in it. There's so much about the lesson that is just, you know, God is great, and He's great all the time. Yes, Karen, yes.
Brother Mitchell, I'm glad you raised the point about the outer court representing the world, because when Brother Long first mentioned about the priest being able to go back and forth, I thought he was talking about the person coming into the church and then going back into the world. But
okay,
the discussion that
yes, backsliding.
I thought that's where he was going with his question. The other thing is, we are listening to the lesson and it's being taped, and for some of us we'll be sharing it with others, but the persons won't be able to see your diagram. My only concern is that maybe we can think about going forward is when you have directional things that you put on the board, if you could have it so taped that it becomes a teaching tool.
That's true.
I remember years ago, coming up in the church, back in the days when Jack Francis was here, we had that sort of thing where you could sit down and see somebody teaching and then you had the instruction, because they're listening to you on the tape, but they can't see the diagram for it to drive home the point.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, going forward, if we could do that.
We are coming up with that. Brother Gilbert and Matthew is working on that folder person, and it has a lot of charge.
I may ultimately, because when Eddie was here, we discussed some chart that he said, why don't I include those? But depending on the time, I may get this off and include it on the chart, because as you have rightly said, the folder that we are coming up with, it has a lot of charts. Lot of charts. And you're right, Karen, it's good teaching tool, you know. Yes. Okay, Brother Pierce, I see your hand up long ago. He's coming.
Yes, Brother Mitchell. They mentioned the improvement from the altar to the tabernacle.
Yes.
But I was looking at it and said, Abraham, in during his period, one could build an altar anywhere. In his case, he was at a point and built an altar and offered sacrifice to God. But I'm looking back now and said, but that was the family arrangement.
Yes. Yes.
Now that you come to the national arrangement.
Yes.
And moving on to Christ, we'll go on to an international.
International arrangement. Everybody listening to Brother Pierce, the patriarchal age before this was a family religion. Remember, we have two religious age as it relates to God. Three rather. The patriarchal. And remember, the word patriarch is father. The patriarchal, the Mosaical, and the Christian. Brother Pierce has just pointed out that the point Dave came up with was that before this was the patriarchal age, when the Almighty God dealt with the head of the family. That's under the patriarchal age. While in people like Cain and Abel, they were children of Adam, but somewhere along there, their parents, and especially the father, would have had some input in setting example or giving them guidance. We see a lot of the father figure in people like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. That's what the word patriarch means. Matriarch refers to the mother. Patriarch refers to the father. So we have the patriarchal age. And Brother Pierce has just said it. Under the patriarchal age, we have Abraham. Everywhere he went, he built altar. The patriarchal age. Then we move from the patriarchal age to the Mosaical age. But under the Mosaical age, it was a national religion. It was a religion for one nation. So you have a type of stepping up where God's directive and regulation was more organized. Not that under the patriarchal age men were permitted to do as they like. I just give Cain and Abel as a good example. But under the Mosaical age, there were more, I don't want to use the word orderly, it was more organized. And after this removed, then we have the Christian age. Now that is organized. The Bible calls it the end of the ages. All of time culminate in this time. That is, this side of the cross of Jesus Christ with the church of Christ and the gospel is the time that God has been preparing the world for.
I just finished.
So, Brother Pierce.
Abraham wanting to make an sacrifice, offer a sacrifice. During this period, would God accept it?
If what?
Abraham was living in this period and want to offer a sacrifice and an altar, would he be directed to go to the tabernacle or he could just please one thing?
Everybody heard, if Abraham was alive wanting to offer sacrifice to God, would God permit him to offer that sacrifice or would God direct him to the tabernacle? None of them. That's right. Remember, Brother Pierre knows it, you know. But he knows it, but he asks the question because we can learn. You see, none of them, because those don't have any place again since Jesus the Christ came. None of those altars have any place. The only one thing that has any place in this time is the cross of Jesus Christ. If Abraham came around here and wanted to offer sacrifice on an altar, the Almighty God would send him to the church for somebody to teach him about Jesus Christ. That's right. Yes. The last question, or else we'll stay here all night.
Well, I'll just add Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 to Brother Pierce.
Very good, you know. Very good. Hebrews 1:1, God was hundred times,
in diverse.
Diverse different manner, spake in time past. When?
Time past.
Unto who?
Father.
Unto the Father. Nowadays, he's speaking to us through Jesus Christ. Isn't the Bible plain? Thank God for the gospel. Yes, Brother Wayne.
Okay, I had wanted to make a comment on something made earlier, then ask a question. You probably won't get to the question. But earlier when we were talking about how serious God was in respect to who David was going to the holy place.
Yes.
What I find interesting is that the high priest going into the Holy of Holies, so important or so critical it was that the things are obeyed, that when he went in there, he's usually tied.
So, just a minute. He did what?
He's usually tied. So usually there is a rope around him.
Yes.
So that in the event that
everybody understood. That's why you have thousands of Israelites usually scattered all out here and some out here, and their heart is in their mouth. You know why? They knew the likelihood of him making a mistake and God killing. And then nobody can go in there if that person is not appointed by the law. So they have to tie something on him to dry him out. True. No, you know, all this, you know, tell us about the God with whom we have to do. God no make joke with his word. We need to get that. Sorry, brother, go on.
Well, yeah, so you concluded it. So, right. So that is the point. Oh, so I wanted to
ask.
The question I had, because I really enjoyed the lesson this morning. You highlighted the candlestick, the altar of the incense.
Yes.
All right. But you didn't say much on the shewbread.
The shewbread.
All right. I'll challenge you to complete the lesson. All right. I think what is the significance, like with the candlestick,
yeah,
and the seven.
Yes.
So the seven, and in respect to the shewbread, the 12.
Yes.
So, you know, 7, 12, do those numbers have any significance?
Yes. As most of us know, 7 represents completion and perfection in the Bible. You know, I was about to say especially Old Testament. 7 represents perfection and completion. I don't want to get in it in case
I have one or two lessons that not on this. That's why I said I didn't want to come back. Have a lesson on the theme of the gospel meeting that I want to bring to the congregation before the gospel meeting. Jesus says who, when, what, where, how. Before the gospel meeting, I want to preach a lesson on that. So I didn't want to come back to this Sunday coming. But don't be surprised if I come back to it. For one thing, should I throw that out now? That the seventh most likely refer to the seven partition or segment of the Bible. I'm not going to get in that right now. I'm just saying that in case the lesson is taught, and there are quite a few important things. About the tabernacle, Christ being the one who built the true tabernacle, and that man had not what it takes to build or the founder of churches. And some of the things, if you are going to be founder of church, you must have salvation within yourself to give. That would be one of the great aspects of the lesson that I didn't get to. The shewbread was eaten by the priest every Sabbath, Jewish Sabbath, and new one put there. So in case the lesson is revisited each Sunday coming or another Sunday, don't miss it, because quite a few important things we haven't spoken about. I really wanted to get to the two goats, the two sheep that were there. In fact, I badly, because you see, anything for me that points to Jesus Christ, that is important. And here you have two goats. After the priest, watch here now, went in and sprinkled the mercy seat right before it with the blood of the ram that was just killed, he had to come out now and cast lots. And the two goats, the one on whom the lot fell, belonged to God. That had to be slaughtered. And he went back now a second time into the Holy of Holies. But somebody said, how you say it one time? Once per year. That's why the Bible talks about once. The once is once in a year, but he entered the Holy of Holies, traveling from here in here about three times. But it is once per year that is done. So it's considered once. So the lot and the goat on which the lot fell was slaughtered. And he went back into the Holy of Holies. What happened to the other goat? Did the two goats, how did Jesus Christ, one person, represent the two goats?
So we will come back to the lesson sometime. I'm not promising that it is Sunday. Thank you all for your question and input. Let us learn God's will so that we may learn to serve Him better and more faithful, and also be in a position to help enlightened men and women. Because we were enlightened to enlighten others. We were. Thank you. If you're here tonight, not a child of God, in love, grace, and mercy, Jesus Christ called you to faith in Him tonight, to repentance from sin, to getting baptized for the removal of your sin, to rise from that watery grave of baptism to serve God. Remember the picture that we have just seen. Before the priest could come in here and offer service to God, they had to be washed. Have you heard how many times from this very pulpit we tell you that a non-Christian cannot really serve God, cannot really worship? We are glad to have them in our audience. But the Bible has already told us that worship must be done in the church. In the midst of the church will I sing praise to your name. Glory be to the Almighty God in the church. That's right. So you can become a child of God tonight as we stand.